Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Welcome back. This is another edition of For the Love of the Game. This is your host, Nick Andre. Once again, thank you guys for listening in. Hope everyone's having a very fantastic week. And I hope that everybody's enjoying all the hoops that's going on, because there's been a lot of great hoops from the playoffs to the WNBA preseason. Like, I'll be real, like, this is a dope time of the year. The sun is out. You know what I'm saying? It's hot as fuck outside. And we got good hoops going on. You know, the playoffs are coming out to the wire. The W season begins next Tuesday, which I'm really excited about. And, man, like, it's just a really good time, man. But, you know, once again, I hope that everybody's having a really good and productive week. Hope that everybody's continuing to accomplish their goals, remain disciplined, remain focused, all of the above. But we got some hoops to talk about. We're going to talk about some NBA. And we got some breaking news that just took place yesterday. The NBA has announced the winner of the Most Valuable Player Award. And it goes to Denver Nuggets center Nikola Jokic, who has won his third MVP award, his third in 4 years. Great overall season, 26.4 points per game, 12.4 rebounds, 9 assists, which is like those numbers are just incredible when you think about it. Like a guy of his caliber and his size being able to do this night in and night out is just incredible. Then you talk about he had 68 double-doubles during the regular season, 25 triple-doubles, and he had two games when he scored at least 20 points and grabbed 20 rebounds in the same game. Like, those numbers, like, when you look at it from a statistical standpoint, you can't knock what that man has done. And I know that Jokic gets a lot of flack because I know people talk about his weight. I know people talk about, you know, he may be oversized, or that, you know, he's not athletic, or he may not be in the best shape. But one thing that you can't knock about Nikola Jokic is that he gets it done every night. And it's consistent. It's very consistent. So you can't knock what that man does and, like, the importance of his caliber to the Denver Nuggets. And not only just to the Nuggets, but to the NBA. But I'm going to be real with y'all. I didn't have Nikola Jokic winning the MVP award. And like I said, it's not a knock. I definitely believe that he was an MVP candidate. I don't think anybody should argue that. But if you want to ask me who I believed was or should have been the winner of the MVP or the MVP award, it should have been Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Oklahoma City Thunder. Coming into this year, I don't know if a lot of people expected OKC to be in the position that they're in, you know, being the top seed in the Western Conference. And I mean, even last year, I was looking at this team and I was looking at how good they are. Of course, you know, they still have the growing pains. And of course, you know, they had their ups and downs throughout all the last season. But I was looking at them and I was having conversations with a lot of insiders, a lot of like NBA experts per se. And they were telling me, hey, give OKC another 3-4 years, they'll be contenders. And I'm watching the games. I'm looking at them and I'm saying, honestly, this team could be good sooner than that, like within the next year or so. And look what happens this year. And even I was on another podcast before the NBA season doing like a little preview on as a guest, and they asked me who's going to be a surprising team, and I said the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I knew the SGA was going to have to lead the way, and I knew that he was going to have to take his game to another level. And, I mean, you talk about – I mean, look, he was spectacular even last year, being able to lead them to the play-in tournament. They ended up beating New Orleans in that first play-in game, ended up unfortunately losing to Minnesota in the second one, preventing them from making the playoffs. But he came back this year. It was just a monster. You talk about how he's just able to get it done offensively. Like, SGA, the one thing that I really love about him is that he plays at his own pace. Like, he's not going to get too fast. He's not going to get too slow. He plays with so much control. And I think that's something that people need to value whenever we look at scores, is how players play so in control no matter what the situation is. SGA knows how to manipulate the defense into doing whatever he wants them to do. You know what I'm saying? He can knock down three-point shots. He can post up. He can score in the mid-range. He can face up. He can find ways to get to the basket. And on top of that, he's a really good playmaker. And that's the thing about the MVP award to me, is that, yes, you can be great individually, but also how are you making others better? And that's why, in a way, you can't really knock Nikola Jokic for winning the MVP award. Even though I didn't have him originally winning the MVP award, you can't knock that because not only is he getting it done as an individual player, but he's making so many players around him better. And I believe that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is doing the exact same thing. Like you talk about, like, and I mean, I talked about this a few episodes ago, like the ascension of Jalen Williams is just so impressive. Like that could have been like a most improved player candidate, if you ask me. You talk about Josh Giddey, you talk about Chet Holmgren in his first year. Like, not saying that these guys were not great before that, but you know, like playing next to a high caliber player like Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, like that's automatically going to make you better. I didn't even mention a lot of other players like the Lou Dorst of the world, the Isaiah Joes, who really stepped up and contributed at a high level. Even guys like Gordon Hayward as well, who came to this team, you know, after the trade deadline, you know, just being able to play at a very high level. And I think a lot of that, of course, Coach Mike D, I'm not going to say his last name because I can't pronounce it for shit, but, you know, I think that he has done a really exceptional job of coaching his team and, you know, preparing his team as far as getting them ready for every matchup every night and allowing them to just remain consistent night in and night out. But SGA is the motor on that team, and that's the guy that makes them go.
SeatGeek is a proud sponsor for the love of the game. There are several events getting ready to take place that you don't want to miss. Ticket prices can be a little abnormal. However, if you use code LOVEOFTGBBALL, you can save $20 off your first purchase and be in store for a great night. Again, that's LOVEOFTGBBALL. The code will be at the bottom of the description of this episode, and make sure to support the show by using it. Now, let's get back into the episode.
So like I said, you know, I'm not against Jokic winning the MVP. No, he wasn't my favorite, but I mean, at the end of the day, he was definitely in that conversation. I think it was him, SGA, Jalen Brunson, Luka Doncic, and I don't even know who you want to put for that fifth slot, but definitely those top four, in my opinion, like were no doubt, or probably Anthony Edwards could be in that top five just because Minnesota had a really good year. And I think that he really took another level this year as well, which is exactly what we're seeing in the playoffs. But if you ask me, I think that Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should have won it. Like I say, you know, I think that he, in my opinion, was the best player this year. And I get it. I know that he's still young, and maybe, you know, maybe that's the narrative of, you know, we don't want to give it to another young guy. I mean, even though there's been other young guys that have won it, like, for instance, like Derrick Rose won it in 2011. I think Derrick was probably like 22, 23 years old or something like that. So a lot of younger guys have won it before, but I guess it's not really the norm. But also, this is my thing. Like, this is my criteria when it comes to an MVP is, like, you have to have a good season, of course, individually, but also, like, your team has to at least have, like, one of the best records. And look, I mean, definitely Denver does. You know, they're the second seed, but Oklahoma City is the first seed. And even in years past, you know, we saw it. Like, for instance, like, I can go back to 2006. Where you had like three or four guys averaging like 32 plus points a game. You had Kobe Bryant averaging 35. You had LeBron James averaging around like probably 33, 34. And I think Allen Iverson was averaging around the same thing. Gilbert Arenas as well. So those four guys could have easily been candidates for the, I mean, wish they were candidates, but they could have easily been the favorites to win the MVP award. But who did it go to? It went to Steve Nash. I don't even think Steve Nash was like definitely not top five scorer. I don't even know if he was top 10. I would have to go back and look at the stats, but at the end of the day, the reason why he won it was because Phoenix was playing so well, and he was the engine that was running that team. You know, that 7 seconds or less offense, that was a well-oiled machine because of what Steve Nash was able to do. So with that being said, that made him a favorite to win that MVP award. Do I agree with it? Honestly, no, I would have went with somebody else. But at the end of the day, you know, you can't knock it, especially with how well Phoenix was playing. I don't know if they were the first seed in the West, but I know they were at least like top two or three per se. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I think that plays a role. But I mean, then again, you know, we've also seen players win the MVP award to where their team was not top five in their conference. Like, for instance, like when Russell Westbrook won it in 2017, I want to say OKC was like top six or seven. Like, I want to say they were the six or seven seed. But at the end of the day, it was just so historic. You know, that was the first time we've seen somebody average a triple-double since Oscar Robertson, I want to say. So it had been well over three, four decades since we've seen that. So with us seeing it in modern day, and then on top of that, people got to look at the circumstances. You know, with him, that was his first year playing without Kevin Durant. He was able to shine at a high level. So at the end of the day, it was like, even though James Harden was another candidate, you know, you had to go with that because of what Westbrook was doing. And Jokic won it a couple years ago when the Nuggets were the sixth seed, but you also got to look at the circumstances as well. You know, he didn't have Jamal Murray, who missed all that year as he was rehabbing a torn ACL. So we definitely have seen players win the MVP award when the team wasn't one of the top teams in the conference. Do I agree with it? Not necessarily, but at the end of the day, you know, it is what it is. But once again, you know, like to close out this topic, you know, shout out to Nikola Jokic. You know, Nikola Jokic is incredible. He's incredible. And I think one thing that we have to take into consideration is that he brings 100% effort consistently. And on top of that, he's always available. You know what I'm saying? Like, Jokic does not miss games. Like, I don't think people really realize that, but he doesn't miss games at all, honestly. I mean, he may miss a few games here and there, you know, like throughout the season. But I can't remember the last time he's probably missed more than like 5 or 6 games in a regular season. Of course, I'll have to go back and check. But the one thing about him is that, you know, as a star, as a superstar in this league, he's always available. Even like, you know, even with us living in this modern day of load management and stuff, you know, Jokic has been available almost every night. And because of it, you know, that's part of the reason why he won the MVP. So once again, shout out to Nikola Jokic for winning the MVP, his third MVP in 4 years. You know, of course, it's probably going to spark conversations as far as him, you know, possibly being like one of the top 10 players of all time, or definitely top 10 centers of all time. But at the end of the day, you know, what he's been able to do in the NBA has just been incredible. And, you know, with him winning the MVP award, it's just really another indication of his greatness that we've seen throughout the past so many years. That's going to wrap up this episode. Once again, thank you guys so much for tuning in with me. My sincere apologies for the reason why this episode is so short. This episode was originally 40 minutes, but for some reason you can only hear the audio on the first 12 minutes of the episode. So unfortunately, we had to cut it short. I was not going to drop it at all, but you know, I was like, you know what? I still think that people need to hear this conversation that I had on the MVP. So, you know, we're going to put it out anyway. So hope you guys enjoyed this short episode. And guess what? I'm going to make it up to you guys. We're going to have a new episode out tomorrow where I talk about the playoffs. And then, of course, I'm going to talk about some WNBA preseason as well. So once again, thank you guys for tuning in. I apologize for the technical difficulties. And until next time, you guys, deuces.